Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hoping that God somewhere would understand. But the reason why God has given us this book and took thousands of years to put the books together by different prophets as a witness that this word has been tested and at no time was it found to fail. So when you study the Bible, you are trying to learn the ways of God. You are trying to understand how God thinks. Are we together? You are trying to understand how God thinks. It's very important. God's thoughts are primarily contained in scriptures. When you see some of the stories, you see how God responded in those situations, it gives you an idea that God's nature and character is consistent. Now, if you are born in such a time as we are in now, an average Christian, and I'm looking at the last 20, 25 years, all right, there was a sharp increase in inspirational messages and less on doctrine. When we say doctrine, I'm not talking about your church doctrine. I'm talking about the doctrine of Christ. You know, I'm talking about the things Jesus taught or the things that Paul taught or the things that are established in scripture, maybe through Old Testament and New Testament. They are teachings. So they are not tankies, they are not people's personal opinion. And today you see a lot of people say, well, this is what I think. Yes, you have a right to what you think. But God may not be obligated to your thought. Paul who was saying, even if our hearts fail, he said, God is greater than our hearts. So God is not obligated. All right. God looks at two people who commit very similar crimes. One is Judas, one is Peter, and decides that one can be saved and one cannot. If you don't look through those stories carefully, you will think God is a sadist or a very wicked person. Or he looks at two people and says, okay, Esau, have I hated? Now, the word hate is a very strong word. So he says, Jacob, I have loved. But among the two of them, who seemed to be a straightforward person? Esau. Are we thinking? Are you with me? So Esau seemed to be a very straightforward person. But the New Testament now gave us a picture of why God said he hated him. In the Old Testament, we heard that he sold his birthright for food. That was one of the offenses. But it was not so much about the food. It was more about a disregard for spiritual things. He didn't understand the power. He didn't value the power of inheritance. Please, I want you to pay attention. And inheritance goes both ways, both naturally and spiritually. When you belong to a family, your neighbor, no matter how friendly he is to your family, the day your dad or your father dies, he will not get a share in that inheritance. Because inheritance never goes to well-wishers. It goes to sons and daughters. Am I right? So the same thing, even in a spiritual family, you can come into the same covenant that establishes such ministries by virtue of staying true. These things are very spiritual. So God will look at Esau and say, I don't like you. And somebody will say, oh, if God is a good God, why would he make such a decision even before the boys have done anything? But again, you need to understand the way God's mental frame is. God, when God looks at you right now, God doesn't see you as you are now. God sees the entire spread out of your life on earth. God is talking to you now, you are 34, but he's also speaking to you at 40, 45, 60. He's seeing everybody in one space. And that's why when he tells you to be patient, he's not just trying to encourage you. He has seen the, he's looking at the map in front of him. So one of the core foundations that a Christian must lay early in his life or begin to lay is the foundation of trust in God. Are we together? Please, I want you to note that if you are writing. The foundations of trust. You have to learn this thing. It's so foundational. You will not learn it by listening to motivational messages. You must study the Bible to see and understand the character of God to such degree that you can actually come to a place and say, anytime these sort of things happened in the scriptures, this was what happened. And then you can lay an anchor there and say, Father, I trust you that your word is still the same. Am I boring you? All right. So, again, this is foundational. I should probably talk a little more about this, but there's no time. Let's read Isaiah 11, 1 to 3. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. This is a prophecy. Yes, go ahead. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You see, that branch is a person. And he's talking about someone who is in the male gender category. The Spirit of wisdom. He said the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and finally, the Spirit of the fear. So when you read in the scriptures and you hear in the book of Revelations, the seven spirits of God. These are the seven spirits of God. So, these were the spirits at work in the life of Jesus. And if you look very carefully, the first spirit there is what? The Spirit of the Lord. That means it's a spirit. The word Lord there means owner. Okay, it's not savior, it's owner. Somebody that lays claim to you. Just like saying landlord. Somebody who owns the property. So the first experience that Jesus needed to come into was to have government, spiritual government over his life. Please, are you with me? Praise the Lord. I want you to please write as much as you can. I'm trying to be very slow and coordinated because sometimes you can hear so much and you've not even realized you've heard so much. I said the first spirit that Jesus needed was the Spirit of the Lord because lordship there speaks of government. He had to come as a man under the government of heaven. That is the only way, peace, that God can say he trusts you. When you are known to have come under government, in ancient British Empire or in some of these old kingdoms in the monarchical era, you will find that when somebody who is an outsider is about to come into a place or level of authority in the kingdom, there will be a oath-taking ceremony. When somebody is being anointed or chosen to become a knight, there will be a ceremony. They will put the sword on his shoulder and he will recite some things, pledging his allegiance to the throne and to the king. Meaning that if the need arises, he will lay his life down. For you to be a knight, you know that a day may be, if you are standing face to face with an enemy that you know you cannot even defeat, and you are standing in front of the king, and the other enemy is on the other angle side looking at you, you are expected to fight and die. You should not be alive when your king is dead. So the first government, because people pray, oh God, when will you do this in my life? But you see, the first test of government is you failed it. And this is something that we must all, you know, strive for by deciding that from today you will be yielded to the government of heaven. I had a very weird experience many years ago, and I really didn't, you know, it didn't make sense because, you know, everybody loves his sin. When you are doing something that you know you should not be doing, when people say, oh, Pastor, I'm addicted, it's because you like that. People are not addicted to things they don't like. Are we together? So there was this lady that, funny enough, she's also married to a pastor now. pastor that braids his hair. Very lovely guy. You know. Somebody was asking me, Pastor, can I braid my hair? I said, well, is it not your head? What's my business? The other guy that had gold locks on his head, it was Delilah that removed it. So, I mean, if I go to Jamaica, I'll probably do the same. So don't be surprised. Yeah, so some things are not so weighty. The problem is that you braided and you did the thing, and everything we saw about you was Satan. That's the only problem. It's not the air, you know. So this lady, we were quite close and intimate, and you know, these were many years ago. And I was willing to offend God on that matter. That's how bad it became. I was willing that this one, God will have to forgive me. Eh? You know, you just know in your mind that this one, do it first, then ask for forgiveness later. I was a student. So me, I was just enjoying the cruise. We were enjoying ourselves. Until one day she came. And she said that she was in a hostel. And then she heard the voice of God. What was this? The person doing what was this? A pastor. It's a Christian. Eh? You know, some of us were born again from our mother's womb. There's one man that said he was born again from his mother's womb. That he doesn't need to give his life to Christ. He's dead now. So he'll go and explain heaven. He'll go and explain heaven. And they are claiming John the Baptist as the reason why, that if John could be filled with the Holy Ghost, from his dad, it's possible to be born again. John was not born again. You could not be saved before Jesus. You have to be. So people don't read the Bible upside down. And if you are not smart, you'll be hearing things that sound right, but they are error. So I was very close to this lady, and you know, things were really getting very spicy and very, you know, heated. Then she came and said she had the voice of God. So anytime somebody says I hear the voice of God, that means there's a problem. God wants to come and scatter this thing. God cannot ever allow you to just enjoy your life for 1 month and come back. He will just find a way to crash the party. So I said, what did God say? But, you know, I just listened, like, ready to discourage her that she didn't hear God. Because I know most people who say they hear God did not hear anything. She said God told her that she was no longer to hang around me. I said, are you sure it's God? She said, God told her that this boy, I need him. I don't need distractions around him. And me, I know he wants to fall, but I will not let him fall. So when she was crying. It was when she started crying that I realized she was serious. I thought she was just being spiritual. Started crying that this is not fair. So she started feeling that, out of two of us, God preferred me to her. I said, me, I want to fall. You don't understand. This thing you are saying now, you should have kept it to yourself. Let's fall first before you tell me all these things. But, you know, God did not allow her rest. And she came to my house and told me, she will not be coming here again. That God told her he doesn't want to see her in this area. That he's going to rain judgment on her. So that was the end of it. I just found kind of my Bible. I went back to church. Because the transaction is over. So I went back and repented and matters moved on. But, you know, that thing left a very strong impression in my heart. Because she literally told me, God said he will wreak judgment on her. Yes. Meanwhile, the person God is fighting for has been scheming on how everything is going to pan out. So you need government. Without government, you will not have conviction. Please write that down. I say without God's government over your life, you will not have conviction of something that the Lord is rebuking for. Because for you, that thing may not even be a sin. Generally speaking, that thing may not be erroneous. It may not be a sin. But God says for you, it shall not be so. So the first thing that was introduced in the life of Jesus was the Spirit of the Lord. And that signifies what? What does it signify? Divine government. And now you know that you have come to a place of divine government is where you do not need any motivation to follow God or obey God. When the reason why you follow God is personal, between you and Him. The reason why you are active in church is not because of your pastor again. It's because you are a servant of God. Are you with me now? So this is very, very significant. So you just realize that there's government in your life. If you are supposed to, just the same way you have to show up at your office 8 a.m. and you don't come 8:30 because there's government in that office. The same way you cannot come and you are expecting God to wait for you. It's government. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's government. So the thing is, that thing is going to enter every space of your life. And people just notice, that this person is a Christian. You are not trying to prove anything to anybody. It's just that that government has distilled itself into different areas of your life. That somehow you just notice over time, there is no area of your life that God doesn't have a say. Are we together so far? Church is quiet too. Should I change the message? Okay. But what so far? Am I preaching from the Bible? Can we agree on that? Should we vote? Because I've told you people we have to hold each other accountable. Next, go give me that chapter again. Now, let me also give you a heads up. This message is not prepared. This message I'm preaching now is not, there's no script. I have my message, but where I've started from is not there. So this one is by inspiration. What I'm sharing with you now is by divine inspiration. So pay attention. It's also for me. This message is also for the speaker. So you find that the moment the government of heaven came upon him, the next thing that was released to him was wisdom. Are we seeing it? What was that? Wisdom. And it distilled up till it got to the seventh spirit. And that spirit is called what? The fear of the Lord. And that is where my message is today. So, Psalm 128. Let's read Psalm 128. You see, we are in the days of Joseph again. And we are in the days of Daniel, where you will not have anybody to blame you or force you to serve God or to do the right thing. You know, an average Christian today who is in a relationship is actively sinning. Many people who say they are in relationship, planning to be married, are actively sinning. And nobody talks about it. Everybody looks the other way. Because the ability to resist sin is not common among us again. People lie in the Holy Ghost. People lie without blinking. It's business. How much did you buy it? Pastor, things are expensive. How much did you buy it? How much did you buy it? Do you know it's actually a sin to overprice an item? Let me repeat. You call it capitalism. Do you know that before the Lord, you are not worthy? If you bought an item, 400 naira, and you tell the person 1,000, you are not worthy. You have disqualified yourself. It's not profit. You are wicked. Pastor, I don't know what happened to my business. Everything. It was God that destroyed the business. Okay. Dollar went up suddenly to 1.6, 1.9, and you claimed that that's how you bought the items. Meanwhile, those are the old stock. And now that dollar is coming down, your own price refused to come down. And you are not even a tither. Even if you're a tither, it doesn't justify it. I'm just telling you that a lot of people if you know what it means to be a Christian, in those days, go and check Deeper Life. A Deeper Life person will tell you, I bought this rice X amount. This is how much I want to sell it. They've been taught. It's not a breakthrough. You don't have a breakthrough because somebody was foolish enough. There was an item that from some of my, you know, partners, and they told me, say this item goes for X amount in dollars. You are free to peg your price, any amount, because the item is worth that much. But I refused. I said, how much do you sell it over there? I said, that's how much I'll sell. Nobody will, is you don't, this matter is about fear of the Lord. You see, when you have government, divine government over your life, it's easy to administer the fear of the Lord. Because if you, whatever price you peg, nobody's going to ask you, it's your product, you can do whatever you like. But is God involved in that business, or are you just another Ananias and Sapphira? And Anini in the making. Some of you don't know Anini. There's a blessing for those who follow the Lord. I'm telling you why many Christians say they start business and the business fails. Sometimes it's not really the devil. But God could not support what they were doing because they found themselves to be unworthy. So don't come to me and say you want to confess. Just go and change. And I'm telling you, you may go to a church for 1 year in Lagos. You may not hear this kind of thing. I hope you know that. Nobody talks about it because everybody is protecting their space. In fact, it's a risk for me to talk about this. I could be canceled online. Psalm 128. Let's read from verse 1. Blessed is everyone that what? Come on, let's read together. Blessed is everyone that what? Is God speaking a blessing over those who fear him? What kind of fear are we talking about? Godly reverence. Huh? Do you know one way we flout this rule? We use the name of the Lord in vain. That's one of the ways we show we don't reverence God. Oh, jeez. Thank God you are not even using the F word again. We have delivered you from that one. But now, you use the name of the Lord recklessly. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord. It's still in the Bible. I know you think it's in the Old Testament. The day you will see God face to face, that day you will know that scripture has not been... God is to be feared. The scripture tells us in the book of Psalms that among the gods, he is God. All those ancient powers you have been fighting that refuse to live your life, when God shows up in your house, they vanish like I want to say it in Yoruba, but it won't be sweet if you don't understand Yoruba. They vanish. You know what it means when Satan loses his own status? Satan cannot claim to be the God of this world where God is standing. Demons lose their status. They vanish. They see Jesus. They say, oh, Son of God. Even the Pharisees, the pastors, didn't know Jesus was the Son of God. Demons knew. It's amazing, you know. Demons knew. Oh, what have we to do with you? It's not our time. Calm down. I will attend to you now. Where are the Pharisees that are talking? Come and say, well, I want to do deliverance again. Because you have revelation without power. And that's why we see a lot of people say they are praying 6 hours every day. Nothing to show for it. Go and look at these 7 spirits. That's where the error is. When you start running the code, you will find bugs. You will find bugs. That's the thing will not run successfully. You'll be getting error messages. So if you check your life, you will find that out of these 7, there are at least 2 or 3 softwares that have not been properly installed. That's why your laptop is always doing like Abiku. You change the laptop, the virus will still enter. Some people have a covenant with viruses. No matter where they go, the virus follows them. Even let them buy MacBook, the virus will follow them. MacBook that really has virus problem, they will still follow you. Because there's something wrong. You need to, and you cannot find investigate this thing in a rush. You have to literally sit down and begin to look at your decisions, the quality of decisions you make. You will know if God has government over your life. If you truly fear God, you will know. I'm not asking you to just be righteous in your works. I'm saying be righteous in your heart. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. There's a blessing that goes with the fear of the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Look at the first blessing that was streamlined in verse 2. He said, for they shall eat, thou shalt eat the labor of your hands. That means every time you put an effort into the ground, you sow your seed, God says he will guarantee that you benefit. Even if you are selling pure water. Can you see how many people will associate this kind of blessing with the fear of the Lord? Because God knows that you are playing in an industry, you are operating in an industry where the odds are already against you. You have to be crooked to survive in that industry. And you have chosen the fear of the Lord, which means you have now given over your profit. Huh? Whether you make it or not, now depends on God again, not you. Because you have chosen to run your business in God's way. Are we together? Go and distill these matters in your heart. And I give you 3 years if you remain the way you are. And I will tell you one other place where people make mistakes with this thing. They will start. They want to fix this area of their life. They want to start doing this. They want to start doing that. Father, from today, I will honor you. I will do this. I will do that. Not up to 1 month. It could be 3 weeks. 2 weeks, they are forgotten. Then when they now go for one conference, 10 hours prayer, they will now remember that, like I promised God something. 10 hours prayer cannot save you if the foundations are not properly laid. Jesus said, before you pray, you say, our Father who art in heaven. That's government. Do you know the role of a father is government? A father is the governmental head of his family. You can't call him father if you're a renegade bastard. And a lot of us, we are being taught by the world, by Satan, by the world system, to carry Antichrist spirits. But we don't know, because you see the word Antichrist also has mostly Christ. The error in Antichrist is just like 4 letter. Anti. So you will find people today preaching and you will see them saying some very weird things. Like there's one pastor in South Africa that was speaking to a demon. And he wrote it on his video. I'm speaking in demonic language. He wrote it. He didn't. He said don't overthink it. I don't think you are processing what I just said. He went for a conference, and I love the man. You know, it is Jericho. He went. Some of you are not aware that I used to fix my hair many years ago. I go to saloons, women's saloon, for years. Yes. So I know what you people do there. I know there's a lot of gossip there. I know. It was the Lord. There's no way the Lord would have told me in the days of breakdance. Some of you remember the days of breakdance when men do Jericho. Pastor Kumi warned us, we refused to listen. It was when I got to command secondary school. You see my head dripping with kerosene sheen. And okay, forget about it. So it's like some of you are not even born in that. Some of you don't even know what kerosene sheen is and cocoa sheen. So let me spare you. When you go home, ask your old aunties. And please, I'm not old. I just happen to be a beneficiary of old things. My mom would take me to the saloon, sit in the chair here. I'll sit in the next chair. They'll be fixing our hair. When I come out, I worshipped my hair. You can't touch my hair. Who are you? From primary school, that's how my hair, you just see ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I will forget my textbook at home, but my mirror, my comb, my kerosene sheen must be. It's like you understand. It must be in that bag. And Tosin, I will not mention his son. Tosin became an engineer. He was always coming second. Because I was coming 19th. Because 19 out of 25. Because I have interest in other things. Kesinshin. People don't know that you can worship your hair. I'm not saying you should not take pictures, but why is it only have to be when you are coming from the saloon? Better stay out of trouble. All right. Please, I didn't say you shouldn't go to the saloon. I'm just telling you that I used to worship my hair, but I didn't know it was worship. You couldn't touch my hair as a guy or a lady. Just be observing. Just do your hair like this. Just feel it move. Then do it again like this. Feel it move. A boy. I curved my hair to look like that Superman said. Oh, sure. So the issue of the fear of the Lord is about government. The Bible says that the first area you will find the blessing of the Lord is in your work. The things you do with your hands. When you begin to fear the Lord, God himself will be the one opening doors. Secondly, look at verse 2. Psalm 128 verse 2. It says, happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Can you see that? This is the blessing of the Lord that comes upon people who fear God. People who refuse to touch sin. Not because anybody will know, but because they are afraid of God. If you fear God, there are some people's houses you will not visit. Don't sell yourself that lie and say we are just friends. We've moved past that stage. You have not moved past anything. If you know anything about what they call chemistry, it's not just a subject. That's how devil works. Satan will sell you an idea till the fruit begins to look beautiful in your eyes. The fruit has always been there. It never appealed to Eve until Satan telemarketed her. Sent her email marketing. Sent her discount. Sent her 50% off. Sent her this thing. Eventually she bought. And the moment, do you notice that the moment you buy, your eye will not be clear? Eh? Am I the only one? I was just like, what have I done? And that alert, you know, as you are doing traffic, the alert will go quickly. All those network delay, the thing will just go pew. Alert will drop. To now reach the seller, voila. And there's something, sorry, we can't change it. So some of you are remembering some things now. But what's God saying? He said, through the challenges of life, it will be well with you. It's a blessing. This one is not, oh my God. Yes, there's a place for prayer. But if you want your wellness to be on autopilot, it's fear. Don't try to fight your battles. I almost took somebody to court. I almost engaged a lawyer this week to take somebody to court. And my plan was that because I was going to win the case. Anyhow. While I was in the bank, we were taught that be careful of female customers. In my bank, Oshoni Bank, they taught us in training school. For those of you who are very, you want to be exceptional in your customer service, be careful of female customers. They told me, female customers will end your career. All she has to do is to say you are rude to her. By the time the matter gets your supervisor or your area manager, the woman will tell you, I want to come and see your manager. She will get there and start crying. Is this not the woman that called me an idiot last week? She called me an idiot in the bank here. Nobody wants to review the camera tapes. But there's a woman crying here. Sir, you will not believe. I left a sick child at home. I just wanted to withdraw 10,000 to get... Hey, my brother, you are finished. Say, sir, actually, our signature was not regular. Shut up! You are like, Only God can defend you that kind of So if you want to enjoy what the Bible calls, it shall be well with you. What is the secret formula? The fear of the Lord. Number three, Psalm 128 verse 3. Beautiful one. Your wife, can you see? Look at the first level of blessings on your business. The second level of blessings on your well-being. Are you following me? The third level of blessings on your wife. Look at it. He said your wife shall be what? A fruitful vine by the size of your house. Do you know what that means? It means it's like a tree that provides shade in the house. Do you know there are people who are Christians or matured people who are married? Their wife knows nothing about their business. The wife doesn't even know how much the man is worth. And she can't ask. She dare not ask. If the man needs an advice, he will never ask the woman, what do you think? The Bible says this woman shall be a fruitful vine. The fruitful there is, first of all, like you are going to be blessed with children. But it's not just fruitful. It's fruitful on all sides. The Bible talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a housewife. She's an industrious woman. She knows what the concept of smart money. She knows how to work. She knows how to make sacrifice. She learns investment. Some of us are just here. You think that the future of work now is hard work. No, it is smart work. You must learn how to sell. You must learn how to invest. So the money is in the knowledge economy. Knowledge. You invest by knowledge. You put your effort by knowledge. Because 10 years from now, you will all be alive. They will tell you, a degree is useless. Your degree will be equivalent to your secondary school certificate. Say, your wife shall be a fruitful vine by the side of your house. Your children, like what? Olive plants around your table. Put up that scripture. Your children shall be like what? Olive plants. Where do you get your olive oil from? From olive plants. And what this means is that have you been privileged to witness or perceive the aroma or scent of pure olive oil from Jerusalem? Okay, don't even perceive the oil. Go and check the price. That's the day you will know oil is not oil. And listen to me. For those of you who run businesses and you give people 50% discount, You are not convincing people. You are only telling them you are not even worth that much. Yes. People don't have a price problem. They don't. Because somebody borrowed 25 million to Jakba and he doesn't even know how he will pay back. People don't have a price problem. They don't want your product. They don't want you. All right. Don't worry. Very soon, I will start doing business seminar so that I will leave Bible for Sunday. I will be... Because people are praying. God, see, don't pray again. Go and read Proverbs. Your children will be like anointed. They will be anointed children. The word olive there signifies the anointing. Your children will be anointed. Come on, say amen. They will be anointed. They will be prophetically gifted. They will be anointed for signs and wonders. And they will sit around your table. None missing, none broken. This is the blessing of the fear of the Lord. I want you to be thinking like a businessman now. When you decide that, Father, from today, I will honor you in my business decisions. I will honor you with my body. I will honor you with my finance. I will honor you with the thoughts of my heart. You then begin to watch God. There's somebody that I am privileged to support through university. But as usual, most people are ungrateful. All right? If I give you money and I pay for your accommodation in school, I'm not a fool. I'm not expecting anything. I'm just trying to be a blessing to you. But in case you are thinking that you will block me when you are... Even me, you will not meet me where you saw me the last time. You will not meet me. I don't intend to be a rich man of yesterday. Yesterday's rich man. I don't intend to. But you will find that there seems to be a very strong ungrateful spirit that marks the heart of young people today. And in fact, it is a sign of the last days, according to Paul. Spirit of what? Of ingratitude. People are not grateful. So if you are blessed to have children who you are blessed to take care of, and they are anointed, you just find that you have a child, they are already manifesting certain gifts or traits. You know, you just see them little by little, they are growing. Just remember that it is a blessing. It is a blessing. There are people that under normal conditions, because of the way they grew up, they should be wayward children. But for some reason, they grew up and they became Christians. They remained Christians. It's a grace. It's a grace. Are you with me? It's a grace. It's not normal to be a Christian. He said, behold, verse 4, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion. Say amen. Amen. And you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Now, when you look at these very weighty blessings, you now realize that God is not a killjoy. God is not trying to make you unhappy because he too is unhappy. God is always on his seat. He doesn't go out. So he wants you to be a sadist. No. When you look at this kind of blessing, when God says, every time you go out from my presence in Zion, you are going out with a blessing. So, for whose benefit is the fear of the Lord? It's my benefit. It's my benefit. Any altar you do not consecrate cannot benefit you. Scripture speaks to us in the book of John that Jesus, after a mighty crusade, the people were looking for him because of bread. They wanted to eat. And Jesus was upset. He left them and said, you did not seek me because of the miracles. You sought for me because of bread. And that is very significant, because an average person who comes to church today comes because of bread. How can God benefit me? Meanwhile, the person you are talking about is the one who can really help you. But God says, do it my way. Do you know that, just a side thought, you know, thinking about our brother Lot in the Bible. Despite the fact that he did the wrong thing by going to Sodom, do you know that the scripture teaches us that he was righteous Lot, and that he was used as a witness against Sodom? Because sometimes when people say, Pastor, I don't know how this is happening to me, but somebody warned you 3 years ago, 5 years ago, but because he was not a big man of God, somebody, your next door neighbor told you, God says you should repent. You downplayed it. People come to you and say, Pastor, I don't know what's going on in my life. Ah, you don't know, really? You don't know? Really? Really? And you have to be careful, because one of Satan's strategies is to push you to the edge so that you can lose your temper. I told you, I said I was going to get a lawyer this week to begin, you know, process, you know, just go and have a fee day in court. And then when I win the case, I'll tell the judge that they should please help me collect the money that I spent on lawyer, because I'm not supposed to be here. And I'll start crying. My plan was to start crying. That was why I told the story of customer service in my bank. That when I get there, I'll start crying on the pew that I've been traumatized. I've been traumatized. Then you will see me on, they say, hi, is that Pastor Gbenga? And I'll be crying. You like, it's a script. I'll be crying like, Pastor Gbenga is not, it's supposed to be like, I know him, he's very ruthless. I need to follow the money. If you just go there and you are doing like they say, don't worry, forgive him, man. No, don't. I need this money. If you try to rob me to the tune of, there's a level I can easily forgive. But when the money begins to have 7 zeros, you understand? And my grace is not that strong. My grace is not. You know, you have to know your level. So my grace is not so. I say, let's go to court. I don't want to fight. Let's go to court. How about that? You know, so the agent now called, say, please, sir, I don't, for the sake of God, say, so people can beg. Me, I'm not in a hurry. Let's go to court. Let's go to, I don't want to fight. I want the lawyer and the judge to be the one shouting. So as me, you're a lawyer here now, it's business. Because the case is settled. My own part is just to go there and be crying. Sometimes the evil thoughts in this my head, the evil ideas I have, sometimes I'm like, you're a Christian. How did you become a pastor? Like, I already knew what I was going to do when I get there. I would first start talking little by little. Then I'll just say, I feel traumatized. Pow, I'll just start crying. See, you're a grown-up man. I say, no, you don't know what I'm dealing. I'm going to, I've been through a lot of pain. And if the judge is a woman, you know, she knows what to do. Women will flow because say, this guy is innocent. He just, I'll shave all my beards. I'll look very young. Look at this. He said, you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. What that means is that wherever you find yourself in the country, if others complain, you will only have good things to report. That's a very weighty blessing. That the city is blessed because of you. Blessed. Says, for thou shalt see your children's children. Somebody say amen. Amen. And peace upon Israel. All this from Psalm 128 are blessings that derive from what? From fearing the Lord. From walking deliberately. It's not an absentee thing. It's your decision to just walk with God in this way. You can choose to do something else and nobody will know. But you are now bringing yourself under the government of heaven. And you are saying, Father, I want to get it right from today. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways. That's Deuteronomy 10:12. To walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord. You see this word serve the Lord. There are many tongue-speaking Christians who go on break and vacations. Say, just want to take some time off from serving God. See you. You say, what does the Lord require of thee? Say, one of those things is what? To serve the Lord. People come and say, Pastor, I want to take a break. I'm going to be gone for 1 month, 2 months. I want to go and sort out some things in the family. What does the Lord, your God, can you see the word Lord, require of you? To serve the Lord. It's there. The first thing there is what? To fear the Lord. This is what God requires from us. To fear God. You cannot lie, even if people will not know. Let me tell you this story. I hope my wife is not listening. When I was going to get my machine, that laptop, so I woke up that morning. I told him, it's like Yomi. We've discussed this matter. Yomi knows this. My mentor is there. My plan was to go and buy a laptop for 150,000. Please, do you know how sorry that statement sounds to anybody who is in tech field? You want to buy a laptop of 150,000. Do you know how sorry that sounds? You are not seen as a serious person. But I wanted to convince my wife that I needed a new laptop. So I told her. She now said, well, how much would the laptop cost? I said, maybe like 200. She now said, okay. Do you have the money? I said, I'm trying to put some things together. I said, okay. But I knew. You know, I think we've been talking about buying a laptop. But what my guys were telling me, that, Pastor, you have to be ready. You need a gaming laptop. It's like way above that. If my wife is listening, it's this, as I'm speaking, that she will know the price of that laptop. She doesn't know. I refuse to talk. So when I got there, they brought out all those small ones. I said, you know, so because of my own idea, I said, I don't want all these small things. I was just bragging and say, I want something with this kind of processor, you know, I'm just talking. Ah, okay, you want a gaming system? I said, yeah, bring, let me see what you have. From afar, I saw the price. I knew I look at all the fine girls in that place, I say, ah, it's down lane. Like, after all this, you're talking through your nose and like, you will not buy anything here today. So when I was there, like, okay, so this is the only piece we have. It's very expensive, the most expensive system in this shop. I said, wow, okay. Please turn it on. Let's look at the, you know. But you see, why the sale was coming up, all I was trying to determine in my heart was, Father, should I go forward or backwards? Because I would just say, okay, you know what? I need to get something in the car downstairs. I just take off. That was my plan. But as at this period, dollar was already showing some very dangerous signs. So I just knew that whatever I did, I would not meet the price that, I will not meet that price again. So I would just pray, like, okay, what do I tell my wife? Then this is a step of faith. I was trying to tell myself, do you really want to do this? If you don't do this, it's an end to your tech career. If you do it, it's a sacrifice. You are going to suffer. You are going to. I was just trying to tell myself, you know, give me motivational tips. So I was praying that by the time I do the transfer, it will fail, because I noticed the network there was not stable. So I was praying that this is how we escape. My wife has sent me a message. She said, don't go to court. Oh. She's listening. She's going to hear this story. Ah, hello. Ah, she's listening. She has sent me a message. Oluwa. Ah, hello. Please delete. Hello, I will go off air before I finish this story. My wife is actually listening. What is she doing online? Ah, well. Let me think of how I'll be presenting the information now. So by the time they brought the laptop, it was somewhere within the range of 600,000. Now, how much is my salary? So I just said, oh, for God is the God that provided. I started psyching myself. Say, commit the crime first, explain later. I just did like this, brought out my mobile app, praying that if it is not the will of God, transaction should fail. Or my thing just went once. I said, oh, sister, please have a seat. Ah, let's get you something to drink, because we have seen your money. They started apologizing for wasting my time. Because the way I go to all those stores, I dress very casual, so I can look down. But when they now saw that the money came in, they gave me, it took me to another section. I was just smiling. You are not the problem. I'm going to explain what I did at home. By the time I got home and I brought the laptop out, my wife was in a meeting. She just came out of the meeting, you know, just. She finished her meeting. Then she came. What is this? I said, it's the laptop. She said, this thing looks expensive. I said, how much is it? I did not answer. She went to the kitchen, came back. How much is it? I did not answer. The next day she came. How much is this laptop? I still did not answer. He said, I've been asking you for days now. How much is this laptop? I'm not comfortable. How much is this laptop? I know. And I said, after, you know, she stood over my head. See the way I held the laptop. As if I was about to be robbed. I said, and I told her, I said, you've been hounding me for 3 days. Eh? On this earthly thing. I said, do you want me to lie? You fucking baron. Do you want me to lie? I don't want to lie. That's why I kept quiet. Because She didn't ask for the receipt. She only said how much. I could have said, I was lucky. I got it for 200, you know. I said, hey. Okay. She walked away. Maybe it's today again. I will not confess. She will not hear. Then when I get to her, she will go and explain. So I was like, don't let me lie. I started begging her. I don't want to lie. Anything I say now will be lie. So just, please, don't ask me. So out of mercy, she just left me. Don't come and commit sin here. So it's today now, after how many months, almost 1 year, that she's knowing the price. But you know, I could have told your mom now, give me 2 receipts. The original receipt, and then the one I will show my wife. Didn't you see your money? I said, give me receipt and write what I want. When I just go, I just put the receipt on the table. I will behave as if I am not aware. I just put the receipt on the table. She will see it, and she will not see anything. But no fear. No godly fear. So some of you that you lie to your wives now, you are listening to me. Just go home and confess. Your pastor has confessed today. Me, I did not even lie. I just refused to talk. I did not lie. I only refused to talk. So I'm telling you now, anytime you ask your husband anything or your wife, and she's just keep it quiet, just leave her so that she will not commit sin. She's about to lie. So here I am telling you this story because for those who always feel the need to escape by just lying, the key to victory over the spirit of a lying tongue is the fear of the Lord. Even if I go to my house and I say, oh, I bought it for 1 million. That laptop is about, I don't know, maybe 1.7 million now or something. But if there's no, even if she there's nothing, she can't kill me. But for some reason, I was not ready to deal with the fact that I lied. So I kept quiet. Till the day of showing, when I knew that I'll be able to open, see now, I now confess in front of the whole world. The fear of the Lord. Very, very important factor. If God must trust you, if God must trust you and invest himself in you, the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of the fear of the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. For all of you who lied on your CV, They are not here or they are online. You lied on your CV. You said that you worked in this department. You worked in this company. You are a senior developer, DevOps. You are a marketer. You've sold goods worth 300 million. Just to lie and get the job. Go back home and repent. Repent does not mean saying sorry. Repent means go and destroy that CV. Go and put the information the way it is. And God is so good now. Current CVs don't require gender or age. So we know you have been lying about your age for 5 years. So now, be free of your deception. Remove your age from your CV. The white man says he doesn't want to see it again. People lie. I know people who have 2 different ages. Some have 3, depending on the CV. The fear of the Lord. Your life, our lives will be so much easier if we just allowed godly fear. You know, that was what bailed Joseph out. Joseph could have been cooling off with somebody else's wife and nobody will know. It was a win-win situation because the woman would start helping him and he too was helping her and they would make sure the husband is always going about solving the king's problem. And everybody is happy. This one is making money from Pharaoh. These ones are making money from themselves. So everybody is happy. But he would never have been second in command. But he would not have known that his destiny would have been aborted. For him, it would have been a good opportunity. Good opportunity. The Lord will help us. So today, I don't want you to look at the fear of the Lord from a negative angle. I want you to look at it from the posture of blessing. The blessing. If God sees how you fear him and honor him, he will invest himself in you. He will, and look at, go and read 128 Psalms and see all the blessings, different areas of your life where the Lord has guaranteed he will defend you. and help you. So today, let's put away all lies and deception. Put it away. You don't need it anymore. Let's do this thing for 3 years and see whether God is faithful. Are we together? Let's do it for 3 years and see whether God is. Maybe God is even lying. Let's see. There's nobody Jesus cannot change his life. There's no destiny that is too hard for Jesus to change. But you must be straightforward and you must be sincere and you must have godly fear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and we thank you for this exhortation on the fear of the Lord. And we receive grace for everybody who is listening and who is participating, and we receive grace to be able to live up to the expectations of heaven.